The scripture from which today's meditation is drawn is from the third chapter of Luke's gospel, starting with the first verse. Luke continuing to set the stage for what Jesus was to be and what Jesus was to do in his life. Verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of God. Do you have a routine that you go through when company is coming over? Do you have a way of that you like to prepare your home for company? And what makes that routine vary? I'll bet you do. Most of us have at least a basic minimum that's pretty nice if someone's coming over to the house. And then if the occasion or the group, the person or the gathering is a really big deal, we'll pull out all the stops, right? I asked around a little recently, and some of you answered, and the stories got pretty funny. One high school friend, whose last name is Hughes, said that our friends do a Hughes cleaning if it's just us coming over to their house. Our friends, the Brownings, if they're coming over to our house, we do a Browning clean. It'll be just enough that the Browning or the Hughes families won't be embarrassed in each other's homes by the mess. She said, think bags of clutter thrown into the closet. That about captures Hughes and Browning cleanings at our houses. Now that's if the friends are really family, right? And things are understood to be laid back and comfortable. We up the ante a bit, I think, when the company are a little less known to us, don't we? We really try our best to get things right when anyone will be in our house that we don't know well, especially, or that we think we need to impress. My brother said recently, in response to my asking about people's cleaning up and getting ready for company, he reminded me of something that I hadn't thought about in decades. He said, if our daddy was sweeping out the carport, I knew that our aunt and uncle, Audie and Robert, were coming over. And he's right. Looking back, that was true. I remember that. One of you said, a very long time ago, I was known to iron the guest towels before I arranged them for display on the towel rack. Another of you said, although I vacuum, dust, and scrub prior to company, I usually light scented candles for about a half hour prior to their arrival time just to make everything as it should be. So do we, by the way, I've noticed those candles. A divinity school professor that I know said, our strategy is to divide and conquer. We make a list, no stopping until it's done. And sometimes in desperate times, we hide clean laundry in the washer and dryer. And dirty dishes get crammed into a Rubbermaid box. A church member shared this about our congregation's late Janet Hudgens. She said, one of my favorite Janet stories is that she had just mopped and waxed the entry floor and kitchen floors because company was coming yet again. And she was on the phone with her sister Margaret when some of the boys were about to come in, and they were wrestling and fighting around with each other. And she yelled out while she was on the phone, don't get blood on my clean floor. The wife of a pastor in another tradition had three sons, and she told about the night that she hung a brand new hand towel in the guest bath with a note on the towel that said, "Do not use this towel." You see, that night they were having the district superintendent over to their house for dinner, and he used the facilities, the district superintendent used the facilities while there, and he walked out with dripping hands. She forgot to take off the note that had been intended for her boys. We do things to prepare the way for special company, don't we? And then, most of the time, if we're honest, we find ourselves treating Jesus just like another one of the boys. And Advent gives us a yearly opportunity to rethink that one. Christmas is on its way, and we have special company coming. And today we have greened the sanctuary as a symbol of our hope. Green, specifically, as you heard earlier, symbolizes the gift of Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ given to us by this child that is about to be born. For if we take him as Lord of our lives, we admit that we are not God. We admit that we need some help. If we accept his transforming, saving gift of grace, then in the mystery of our faith, we believe that we will one day be in God's presence for an eternity. And green captures a lot of this notion and gives us life and hope. Jesus is coming soon. Now, does that sound like Hughes or Browning Company coming over to you? It wasn't just Luke, by the way, who captured this notion for us early in his gospel. The Bible is replete with those who pointed toward God's intervention into humanity. They made clear to us in their writings in our Bible that this was a big deal. We probably think most readily of Isaiah's words of prophecy, and we often hear or sing them during the Advent season. But in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi also said that there would be one who would help us to get ready for the gift of a Savior. In Malachi chapter 3, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight indeed is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And Luke, earlier in chapter 1, said this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." We even have an apocryphal scripture that spoke of the Messiah. Try these words from Baruch chapter 5, starting with verse 1. "Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name righteous, peace, godly glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For God has ordered that every mountain and the everlasting hills be made low and the valleys lifted up to make level ground so that you may walk safely in the glory of the Lord." All the signs and signals were pointing toward God taking action on our behalf, God intervening in the imperfection of creation, in the exercise of free will that we call humanity, and sending one to live among us to redeem and to reshape us, to save us from our sins and from ourselves, to show us how best to live in healthy relationships, and oh, who are we kidding? To show us how to live together without killing one another, either quickly or slowly.
Every valley shall be exalted, shall be exalted. No, Jesus isn't just another one of the boys. And one of the reasons why a people like us in this time of year generally focus our worship and begin to pay a special attention to what we sing and hear and say and do is that we recognize God for just that. Holy and sacred. Other than one of us. When we gather here, Advent or any other Sunday, real company is coming. So we put on the green today. We green the church. For these days are good days in which to be living. We live in the giant promise of the Advent Christ, the one who is to come and who will be born into life among us, the one who would save our very souls and transform the living of our days if we would but allow. Carol 125 in your hymn books. It's familiar to you. We sing it in its entirety. We sing it in its familiarity and pray that we would make it anything other than familiar. For company is calling. Angels we have heard on high. If you are able, stand with us as we sing. Thank you.